And realize,
well, we was in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 the other night, and it said, "Wherefore come out from among them," that's the last two verses of chapter 6, verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." That's the conditions now. All God's promises are conditional. Amen. Come out from among them. That is the unbelievers. Being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So, it's one thing to go witness to unbelievers, another thing to be socially obligated and tied in and yoked together. Even the Old Testament, he said not to plow an ox and an ass together. Amen. Bruce Cole said a fellow down in Kentucky tried it and said that ox run away and liked to kill that mule. So their natures are different. They don't work together. Amen. So God intends for us to be separate. The Bible said in the 7th chapter of Hebrews that Jesus was separate from sinners. Amen. That is, in his lifestyle, overall habit and pursuits, he was separate from sinners. Now, they accused him of being a drunkard and a wine bibber and a friend of sinners. That's because when he went to their house, he went to save them. Amen. He went to rescue them and to bring them out. When he went to Zacchaeus' house, he went because Zacchaeus had faith in God already had determined faith, even climbed that sycamore tree. I mean, that rich tax collector, that rich politician, man, he climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus. Amen. Well, praise God. Jesus said, "Come down, Zacchaeus, today I must abide at thy house." Jesus was a friend of sinners, but Jesus was separate from sinners. Amen. You can't save somebody out of the quicksands unless you're out yourself. If you're sinking and you're up to your neck yourself, you can't save the man that's next to you. And you can't save a drowning man if you're drowning yourself. We need somebody that's out of the mud, out of the muck, out of the mire to save the rest. Amen. So he said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not," don't even touch it, "touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father to you." This is the promise now. I've already read you conditions. Here's the promise. "I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." That's the promise. Heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What a promise that is. What a potential that is. Now, before the Bible was divided into chapters and verses, you didn't even change the, you didn't even get your breath hardly till you was in the, what we call a 7th chapter. So he goes on, he's continuing the narrative. He said, "Having therefore these promises," what promises? The promises that we could be received of him. The promises that he'd be a father to us. The promises that we could be his sons and his daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. Glory to God. "Having therefore these promises," then you can't beat that. He owns cattle of 1,000 hills and all the taters in the hills. He owns the sun, moon, Mars, and Neptune, and Venus, and all the rest of them. He owns the whole world. He's got the whole universe in his hand. Hey, to be his sons and daughters is to be the benefactors. Amen. Is that the right word? He would be the benefactor, wouldn't he? We would be the beneficiary Amen. Beneficiary of such a grand and glorious inheritance. Amen. And of course, this is the will. This is the will. Praise God. Amen. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I, for one, am glad that men of God have done their job down through the years. And in our camps and youth camps, they've preached holiness and preached strict and still do. But praise God, they don't have to do it like they used to because they've done such a good job in the past. They don't have to dwell on it quite as much. It's like this, folks. We've been able in our camp meetings and revivals to enjoy many more of the great depths of the Word of God and the great truths of God and the great gifts of God and delve further into the will, if you will allow me to say so. Delve into the will and learn more about Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Then just the, shall we say, externals and sometimes so-called non-essentials. Amen. And we need all of those, and there's a very good reason for all of those, and a very profitable reason for all of those. We can go on if we will perfect holiness in the fear of God, cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. We can go on in God. Amen. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. Now, it doesn't seem like a man of Paul's status would have to beg the folks to receive him. It doesn't look like the man that has raised the dead and healed the sick and performed many miracles among them would have to make any complaint or ask that the church receive him. Amen. It don't look like he would even have to defend himself by saying, we have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. Amen. another one of the talk show guys late in the afternoon was making quite a to-do about the court ruling against the Catholic Church because this priest had corrupted several boys, and one of them had even committed suicide, and the court awarded the families, demanded that the Catholic Church pay them, I think it was $130 million, I may be wrong, $130 million, demanded that the Catholic Church pay these families that had been wronged by this priest. Amen. And that's happened all over the country, and Cincinnati included, and it has caused quite a stir in the Catholic Church. People are leaving the Catholic Church by the multiplied thousands. They can't hardly get people to become priests or anything else, and probably that's good. But Paul could say, receive us, we've wronged no man. Receive us, we've corrupted no man, our boy, our woman. Amen. I mean, Paul stood up there a untarnished example. We have defrauded no man. Amen. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and to live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Praise God. And for when we came to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side with out were fightings, within were fears. Paul had fightings without and fears, yes, Paul. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Amen. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what a clearing of yourself. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in the matter. Amen. Now the young man that he wrote about in the first letter to the Corinthians had committed a great sin. He said worse than the Gentiles even commit. He had taken one of his father's wives. And so Paul had to deal with that. And it caused a lot of grief. It stirred up a lot of trouble. Amen. And it's always painful when you squeeze an old boil. Amen. But he said, in the second chapter, if I have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. So that contrariwise, ye ought rather to forgive him. Amen. He cleared himself, and they cleared themselves. I mean, they straightened it out. He cleansed himself from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and now Paul says, you ought to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. For to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. Hallelujah. I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Now, why should we forgive? Why should we use this grace that God has given us against offending members? Amen. Why should we forgive? Not only the one that had sinned, but the preacher that had to deal with it. Amen. A lot of times folks, you know, get mad at the preacher because he deals with sin. Amen. Ain't no nice way to deal with it. Amen. A lot of folks get mad at a parent when they see him whipping the child. In most cases, I'd like to give them one myself. But there's a lot of folks not like that. They have sympathy pains for the child. Like a cousin of mine in Salem, Arkansas, was one of her boys hit the other and hurt him, and so She was cutting her switch and going to wear him out, and a teacher came driving by from the school nearby and said, if you whip that child, said, I'm going to call the law on you. She said, well, he hurt him. And he said, I don't care if he did. If you beat that child, I'm going to call the law. And we're living in a day where people's doing that. Amen. Dr. Laura had a case this morning where somebody called her Dr. Laura Schlesinger, that nice Jew that solves everybody's problems on 55 KRC. And this girl living in the home, when her mother slapped her, she called the police. She got the police involved, and now they have demanded that she apologize and say she's sorry and admit she was wrong. And she said, no way. And I'd be just like her. Amen. No way. And when it comes to that, nobody better get in my way either. Amen. It'd be Katie bar the door. Praise God. But and nowadays, people just call the law. Amen. A friend of mine, preacher, who's on the police force out in Indiana, pastor's church, he's been here and preached for us. Amen. You'd know his name, and perhaps I'll not call his name. His daughter's straightened herself out now, but she want to live worldly and ungodly, and him a preacher, and go places they didn't want to go and stay places they didn't want to stay. And they wouldn't let her do that, she called the authorities, and they took her away from them for a while. I mean, wouldn't let them. They put her in a home and supposedly protecting her from these cruel old homeless folks that wouldn't let her do as she pleased. Amen. Now, I mean, there's a lot of folks that think the way we live is cruel and unusual punishment. Amen. And he took that girl away from that preacher, him on the police force himself. Amen. Took that girl away from him, that preacher. Still is he retired now, I think. Amen. And took that girl away from that preacher, and he had the whole country praying about it, had us praying for it, had a request right here in the church for it. And the girl came back and got saved, and you know what? Amen. Those hard, old, mean, homeless folks forgave her and took her in and helped her. And they're glad to see her doing good. Hey, you know what? If you do good, the preacher's going to be the first one that'll be glad to see you doing good. Amen. You do wrong and ask God to forgive you and get right with God, the preacher and the particulars in the church, for the most part, those in that seem to be pillars in the church, hallelujah, they'll be the first ones to be glad. Why? Amen. I forgave it for your sakes. I forgave it in the person of Christ. Amen. Listen to this. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Did you know it's awful easy to get into a chain of thought that won't forgive people that have done wrong? Amen. It's easy to get in that frame of mind and not be willing to restore people that have done wrong. Amen. And oh, I won't tell you what, restoration comes slow in a lot of our fellowships. And sometimes it never happens. Why should we forgive? Amen. Now, we should cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of flesh and spirit, and we should pull some out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted with the flesh, and we should forgive. Why should we forgive? Because Satan gets advantage of us when we don't forgive. Here's the kind of advantage Satan takes of us when we don't forgive. He knows if we don't forgive, we'll not be forgiven. If we don't forgive, we'll not be forgiven. If we don't restore, we'll not be restored. Amen. Hey, If we don't show mercy, we'll not have mercy. Have mercy when it comes time for us to have mercy. Amen. Why should we forgive? Why should we cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh, the spirit perfecting holiness in the fear of God? That's the conditions of the promise. But we who are spiritual, the Bible said, we who are big enough in God, spiritual, ought to restore such a one, he said, in the spirit of meekness and fear. Restoration includes forgiveness. Amen. Forgiveness includes forgetting. You've got to get out of the frame of mind that holds it against that individual. So you got to forget. You got to get into a forgetting frame of mind. Hallelujah. And forgive and forget. Why? Because Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, and the only part of the Lord's Prayer he enlarged upon when he said, forgive us our sins, we forgive those who sinned against us, is that if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us. Satan gets the advantage. The devil knows the Word of God. And when we don't forgive, boy, I'm telling you, hatred and variance, emulations and strife can get out of hand right in church. Amen. And so the way to handle it is forgive and forget. That way the devil, amen, can't get rid of it. When should I forgive? Before you go to bed tonight. Don't even let the sun go down on your wrath. And wake up in the morning with a clean slate. Loving everybody. Nothing against nobody. Not an enemy in the world. Oh, you say, Brother Collins, what I'm supposed to do, play dumb? Yes. Amen. Just act as if you haven't got an enemy in the world. Why? You're forgiven. Amen. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Praise God. Cleanse ourselves from all the filth of this flesh, for there the devil gets an advantage of us. And then when we don't forgive, even though we worked hard on this thing, perfecting wholeness in the fear of God, when we don't forgive, all is lost. I've got a friend. He's preached here. Everybody knows him. Just about everybody, except the new converts. But for years, I noticed he had a weakness. He never had anything good to say about most other preachers across the country. Amen. You know what? He failed himself eventually. You know what I think? I think he was already in a bad way to start with. When you can't find nothing good to say about anybody, to anybody, there's something wrong with you. Amen, because good people look for the good. Good people look for opportunities to show grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Why? I believe Satan got the advantage of him, and it weakened him to the place he failed himself morally. And he's still backslid today. Amen, even though he's raised in church with a good old preacher dad and preached himself. Amen. When you don't forgive, when you can't overlook the faults of others and cover a multitude of sins with love, that is what you consider to be sins, what you consider to be trespasses against you and your belief, amen. Cover a few things with love, show some forbearance, amen, and God will give you grace. In a time of need. Let's pray for the service tonight. Pray for Brother Miller as he preaches for us after a while. What do you say? Amen.